Boundaries and Counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Dr. Jim Neuheiser. He's the director of the Christian Counseling Program and professor of Christian Counseling and Pastoral Theology at RTS in Charlotte, North Carolina. For 25 years, Dr. Neuheiser served as a preaching pastor at Grace Bible Church in Escondido, California. He's also the director of the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, which was formerly CCF West. And he has also served as an adjunct professor of biblical counseling at the Master's University. Furthermore, Dr. Neuheiser serves as a board member at both the Biblical Counseling Coalition and the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. Dr. Neuheiser teaches many of the counseling courses as well as some practical theology courses, and he has also been married to his wife, Caroline, since 1979, and they have three adult children. Jim, it's so good to see you on the podcast today, and looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Dale.
Now, I want to talk today about boundaries. This is a huge topic, and even, you know, I've personally been critical of this concept, boundaries, especially in relation to Henry Cloud's classic work. But I want to talk today about this concept, and I'm not sure 100%, Jim, where you might want to go, but I want to talk specifically about how we think about boundaries in the counseling rooms. Talk about why this concept of boundaries really has become so popular in Christian counseling.
Yeah, Dale, I think that like the Cloud and Townsend book addressed a real problem that people have. And the book begins with a lady named Sherry and, you know, her husband, her boss, her coworkers, her church, everybody's taking advantage of her. And we can all read that. And, you know, she's overcommitted, she's overwhelmed, she's unhappy. And so we can all look at that and say, yeah, that's not right. And we can relate that we sometimes feel like we're overwhelmed and people are taking advantage of us. So it has a great appeal because it's addressing like a lot of, I guess, integrationist Christian psychology books do, that they're identifying a big problem people face. And from my perspective, it's useful to be aware of that problem, but the biblical approach is a very different one than Cloud and Townsend take.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's well said, Jim, where you say, you know, they're identifying what people feel as genuine pressure of the things that are happening in their life. How do we deal with these particular issues? And as we think about it in counseling, and not only boundaries within the counseling room from, you know, counselor to counselee, but also all of the myriad of boundaries that the counselee feels like that they need to set because, you know, some of the problems that they feel like have brought them into the counseling room have to deal with this issue of maybe not properly setting these types of barriers in some relationships where they're, as you mentioned, taken advantage of and so on. So let's talk about this concept of boundaries. It is pressure in people's lives, knowing how to deal with certain relationships and when they feel taken advantage of and so on. But let's talk about this concept of boundaries from a biblical perspective. And I guess maybe the most pointed question is this concept of boundaries a biblical notion?
So the Bible doesn't really use the term boundaries other than physical boundaries between nations. But the Bible definitely teaches that we have a right when we are threatened or to put limits on relationships. I think really the question is, what do we use as the criteria to set those relationships? The summary of what I've come to on this, it's pretty simple, is we shouldn't go from pleasing others to pleasing self. Instead, we need to please God. I think a lot of times when people talk about, I need to set boundaries, it's very horizontal in terms of, I'm not going to let people push me around. I'm being taken advantage of. To some degree, those are real concerns, but the criteria by which you determine whether you meet the expectations or the demands of others, it is sinful to do so merely to please men. The fear of man brings a snare, and the snare can be overcommitment and frustration. But I think as we evaluate expectations, the simple question of, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:9, our aim is whether alive or dead, absent or present, our aim is to be pleasing to him. And so you're processing it in terms of how in this situation can I best please the Lord as opposed to what's good for me.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. And a lot of times the way that those questions are framed, again, we repeat this refrain quite often as we think about secular ideas or non-Christian ideas is the way that they're defining the problem, that they're resonating with people. But the way you define the problem often leads in the direction of where we look for solution. And the way you just described that, I think, is very helpful to say that, you know, we're often asking the wrong question when we're wanting to create some sort of barrier or boundary, which then, you know, you're replacing one sinful relationship with people outside to now focusing on maybe being self-protective. And that's actually not the question that the Bible is asking in those relationships to begin with. I love the way that you reframe that, and I think that's really helpful. You know, one question that some people may be curious about is, are there any positive things from a book like, you know, Cloud and Townsend on this issue of boundaries, classic work, any positive things that we can glean from these types of authors?
Like a lot of integrationist people who rely on psychology, their description of the problem is accurate and helpful. I mean, their book is very easy to read. It's all very relatable. I liked what they said about limiting young people's access to social media, for example, and the dangers of that, which is in the more revised version. So I think, and they're using a lot of scripture. Sometimes I'm disappointed with how they use the scripture, but they're believers who are trying to help people. And again, the idea of setting limits is valid. That in the Bible, we're free to escape from people who are trying to do us harm. Jesus did that in John 10 and Paul in Acts. And we're free to avoid people who are a bad influence on us. Proverbs 13:20 says that he who walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools suffers harm. And we're wise to evaluate our options. And sometimes there are multiple valid options, and we have to choose what is best according to our understanding of God's call in our life. I have to do that with my counseling. I have a lot of people want to be counseled, and I can't please everybody, and I have to decide, in light of the calling God has given me, to whom do I have to say no? And it's very hard for me to say no.
And I think that's something a lot of us struggle with, especially, you know, speaking to the counselors who are out there listening. That is something that's difficult. We're not called to be the person who saves everyone, right? We have to set limits in those types of directions. So some helpful thoughts, but also some misguided, I think, approaches in that book, as you mentioned in the previous question as well. So let's get to this in talking about thinking about setting limits within relationships from a biblical perspective. And I think this would be helpful to really begin to frame how the scripture understands this problem that's being identified, and then how we seek solutions that are God-honoring first and then healthy in terms of relationships. So, Jim, talk a little bit about the biblical basis on how we set these limits within some of our relationships.
Well, I mean, in the Bible, the first command is to love God. The second is to love others. And so I make my choices based upon how best I can achieve those most important priorities in life. I also have to recognize I have a particular calling. Like, I'm employed by Reformed Theological Seminary to prepare future servants of the Lord in ministry. Therefore, if I'm not meeting those expectations because other people are pulling me away, you know, so it means I'm going to have to say no to people sometimes. It does come up a lot in counseling. I could give you many different situations where you have someone, actually it comes up with pastors or counselors, where they are almost ruled by all the demands of the people to whom they're trying to minister, and then they neglect their families. And my wife and I do a great deal of counseling with pastors and wives. And the wife is often embittered because she believes the family has been marginalized, because they could be out on a date and somebody texts and says, oh no, there's a crisis in the women's committee, and the guy gets up and leaves his wife in the restaurant. And so having to process, just in light of how God has called me, in light of the Word of God, how do I respond to these demands? Another example would be, many of us have relatives now who are in homosexual relationships or want to use pronouns we don't agree with. And we have to you're under immense social pressure from family in pleasing people, and even other relatives who may not agree with it are still capitulating to it. And, you know, for me, I can't go to a homosexual wedding because witnesses at a wedding are participants. They're not just an audience. And so I'm going to have to set limits that will upset people, but it really helps to realize I'm setting this limit in light of my understanding of scripture, how I can best please God.
Jim, it's really helpful as we think about biblical basis of, you know, how to approach relationships and, you know, how we can see primary responsibility that we have to other people as we love God and learning to love other people, but then learning how to set appropriate categories where we can't be everything to every single person. We're not the savior. We can't accomplish that. And so I think sometimes people want to use things like boundaries as sort of the primary lens that they see their life through. Talk about that idea of, should this be a primary lens, this boundaries? People read that book and they think, oh man, this explains my life and it explains all the problems that I have. And so they start to look at their whole life through this lens. Describe why that might be something of a danger.
This is actually pretty common with how pop psychology comes into Christianity. Years ago, it was self-esteem is the answer to everything. A love language has been another popular paradigm. And so boundaries, there is truth to the fact that we need to set limits on relationships. But the illustration itself, Ed Wells says, it's not the all-defining paradigm for all of life. It's partial. And then the way that they approach setting these limits, in my view, is very horizontal and man-centered, as opposed to, okay, yes, it's biblical that I set limits, but the Bible has infallible and sufficient information to help me set those limits according to how I can honor God and fulfill my calling. Again, rather than back to my initial statement, I think people who recognize they're people pleasers, they're suffering the consequences of people pleasing, they react and say, well, now I'm going to look out for myself. That's an unwise response to a real problem. The Bible tells me that I have valid reasons for setting limits on relationships according to how I can best serve God, how I can appropriately love others. And then the calling I have, which is going to be unique to me and not everybody will have the same identical calling.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. And I think about maybe this in terms of priorities and responsibilities that the Lord has given me. I mean, I'm called to give preference and deference to my family, for example, over and against, you know, other problems that may exist out there. So yeah, there are reasonable biblical ways to view this. And I talk about that maybe often in priority. Maybe one final question, and just to think through this in a very practical way in the counseling room, what might be one way, Jim, in the counseling room or one particular issue where you might encourage a counselee to think about the situation that they're in and based on priorities that we see in the scripture, where they might limit involvement with an individual or limit some involvement in a particular relationship where it is a biblical approach to say, you know what, in order to honor the Lord, it might be wise to limit here. Can you give an example of what something like that might look like in a counseling situation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dale. I think it comes up a lot in counseling and family situations where counseling a woman who's in her 40s, who was abused in her home by her brothers. Her parents did not protect her. I think she has the right to set some limits on that relationship, and she has the duty to keep her children safe from potential harm from those who aren't repentant. Another situation is where there may be in-laws making excessive demands on the time or even the finances of a young couple, and you have to determine, okay, we have left, we're joined together, and we can't let them run our lives. And even financially, we've had situations where, you know, you've got to co-sign or something. And there are biblical reasons why you may want to say no, even though you may be under immense family pressure to give in.
Jim, that's really helpful. And I'm really grateful for you helping us to think through these ideas, giving appropriate critique, but also centering us back on answering the questions according to scripture. So, brother, thank you for that. Very useful as we think about maybe even some counseling cases that we're dealing with currently. So, thanks for guiding us in that.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know what, Jim is actually scheduled to be a breakout speaker at our upcoming annual conference in October. The breakouts this year will focus on 5 major themes. And this is always very helpful for people, even beyond the main theme of our conference, talking about the history of soul care. People love our breakout sessions, very practical application of the word in devoted themes. And, you know, we chose these themes intentionally for this year's conference. And I want to encourage you to look at the selection on our website. Here are a couple of examples. First, from text to method. What we want to see is people to understand how we go from the text of Scripture to counseling methodology. That's a proper flow. The next thing is helpful truths in past places, sort of going with our overall theme, but giving lots of other people opportunity besides our plenaries to speak into the things that we can learn from Christian history and how devoted they were to the Scriptures being sufficient for the work of soul care. Critiques of clinically informed counseling theories. I think that's helpful as we think about the landscape of biblical counseling right now and people being confused about what clinically informed is, what it's not, how we should approach it, how we should think about it. The next topic is biblical discernment and guidance. This is an ever-growing topic where sometimes we're confused about how is it that God actually gives guidance? Is it through His Word or does He speak through some form of modern revelation? And then the final thing is a biblical concept of sensuality. And this is an ever-growing issue where there's so much confusion in our culture. And the counseling topics related to this are very prevalent, especially in relation to sexuality or our experiences in traumatic events and so on. So there are lots of topics that fall under this subject. And listen, we want you to be a part of it. And these are very practical in nature. And so our breakout speakers will be focused on applying the truths of Scripture into these various themes that I've mentioned. And so there are many breakout options that are designed to serve anyone, whether you've ever heard of biblical counseling, whether you're certified with ACBC, or whether you've been certified with ACBC for many years. There's so many topics that can be specifically helpful to you, even if you're just wanting to grow and learn, how can I help serve my church better? How can I help serve my friends better? How can I better serve within the community that I've been given at my local church in a care group ministry or whatever? This is a good place for you to hear a little bit more about how to take the Bible and apply it to specific ways and issues in life. And so I want to invite you to be a part of our conference. Take a look at the breakout options. I think you'll enjoy those and hearing the very practical nature at which we apply the Word of God. And you can find out more about our conference and the specific breakouts by visiting our website, biblicalcounseling.com.